she applied for employment with the mill and was quickly employed in the spooler department. At that time, there was only one 12-hour shift and a half a day on Saturday. Her first pay envelope contained $6.10 cash for 66 hours work. She said she gave $5 to her parents for our room and board, bought me a 5-cent ice cream cone, and saved $1.05. Mother lived very frugally, making all our clothes and continuing to help her mother by working late at night. I was so young then that she never saw me awake except on weekends. This made her sad, and she told me that she would hold me and cry. As I grew older, I became more aware of how much my grandparents and their many siblings despised my father. I would hear them sit around and talk about how sorry or contemptible he was. Since everyone said I looked just like him, then I assumed nobody in the whole world except Mother loved me. Mother's sister, Jewel Elizabeth, had been so spoiled, and she felt Mother should take no time for anyone except her. When I was born, she had instant hatred for me, as I had to come first with Mother. By the time I was 4, she was 10 or 11 years old and controlled her 2 younger brothers. She would tell the boys what to say, and the 3 would line up and sing over and over, "You have a sorry daddy, you have a sorry daddy." This went on a long time and other cruel things. She liked to make me lick the ground just for kicks. If I tried to refuse, she would beat me, and then she would hold my head down and force me to lick the ground. Many times Mother had to spank me as punishment for Jewel's satisfaction, and to prevent her from beating me. By the time I was old enough to understand, Mother explained we could pretend that I was being punished. She said she knew I was a good child. We would go to our room, and Mother would pop her hands together, and I would pretend to cry. However hard Mother tried, with her long hours away at work, she could not always protect me from Jewel. I remember one Saturday afternoon in the summer, Mother and I walked to town. She stopped in front of the Seaboard Railroad Depot and told me to stand very still by her and to keep quiet. I was probably 5 years old by then. Soon a tall, well-dressed man walked up and stopped to talk to her. Their voices were low, and I did not understand anything, but I sensed that it was not a friendly conversation. He soon walked away, and Mother and I started walking home. Mother commented, Well, he said he would not do anything. I replied, Mother, who was that man? She said, Oh, honey, that was your father, Lawrence Norton. I remember, even at that young age, thinking, there must be something terribly wrong with me for my own father not to even speak to me. Years later, probably by the time I was a teenager, Mother explained that she had written him a note asking him to meet her that day. She told him that since he had never done anything for me and that I would soon be going to school, would he help finance my education? He gave her a flat no. They divorced soon after that, with Mother being granted complete custody of me. Sometime after this, Mother started dating a nice gentleman she met at the Congregational Methodist Church. His name was Charlie Thomas Bone. He was kind to me, and I soon adored him. Since Mother had to be away from me all week, she would not agree to go anywhere without me on weekends. My new friend Charlie was perfectly agreeable to this arrangement. We went to a lot of movies, and at that time it was black and white, solid film, with the words being shown, which made me more anxious to read. A lot of vaudeville came to town, and at least one circus a year. I was extremely attracted to the acrobats and liked to fantasize about being on the high wires. At home, I practiced doing back bends and splits. We also attended a lot of church functions and all-day gospel singings. I was enrolled in a small kindergarten operated by a neighbor for a short time and made friends with the other little girls in the neighborhood and looked forward to going to school. On June 13, 1925, Mother and Charlie were married in the parlor of our parents' home. Mother was a beautiful young woman with long, black, curly hair, worn up, brown eyes, and flawless complexion. I always wished I looked like her. I can remember she was dressed in a light blue dress and a matching hat. Although I did love Charlie, I lost my spirit of cooperation right before the ceremony and would not go into the parlor. Instead, I lay on the bed and cried. After a time, I quit crying and could hear laughter and well-wishing, and I realized that the wedding was over. I also knew I should apologize for my poor behavior, but did not know how to handle it. I went to the back porch and saw a large pan of freshly picked blackberries. So I took a handful, washed them, and went to the parlor. I went up to Charlie and said, I brought you some blackberries. He took them and thanked me kindly and ate them. He understood that that was the only way I knew how to apologize. My grandparents' home was large, and two-room apartment was furnished by Mother and Charlie, and we lived there approximately 2 years. Shortly after they were married, it was decided that I could call Charlie Daddy. This made me very happy, and I never told anyone that he was not my real daddy. In my innocence, I thought my name changed because mothers did. I was so unhappy about this that I was enrolled in school the following September as Effie Mae Bone. Some years later, action was taken to make it legal. I was very happy in school and was always a little envious of the siblings the other children talked about. My joy was indescribable when my sister was born on November the 7th, 1926. Daddy came to get me and said, "Mother and I want to show you something." When I saw the baby in the bed with Mother, I cried with joy. All my life I've always cried when I was happy. Mother told me that they wanted me to select one name for the baby. I chose Evelyn, and she and Daddy agreed on Margaret for grandmother. So Margaret Evelyn had a beautiful rhythm for a beautiful baby. I could not wait to announce this wonderful news at school. And by this time, I was in the second grade. Dr. Sparks was present at the delivery of Evelyn. Dr. Horace Ollie Sparks, who was a relative of the famous American frontiersman Daniel Boone. He was born on a farm in South Cherokee County on May 31st, 1879. Horace Ollie Sparks attended school at Galesville, Alabama, the Medical Department of the University of Alabama, after which he attended the Atlanta College of Physicians and Surgeons, the Medical Department of Emory College. He graduated with a degree of Doctor of Medicine in 1902 and immediately took up the practice of his profession in Piedmont. Mother was very ill after the birth of Evelyn, and I was very alarmed. I knew things were not well for her because the house was always filled with relatives and friends checking on her. I would come in from school and take the baby and rock her in my little chair and sing to her. I got such little response from Mother that I knew that something was terribly wrong with her. One Sunday afternoon, the bedroom was filled with people who were concerned about Mother. I went into the adjacent kitchen, closed the door, and knelt on both knees and prayed aloud to God.